This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. We turn now to one of the biggest election issues, hydro rates. The Fraser Institute has crunched the numbers and found that Ontario's residential electricity costs spiked 71% between 2008 and 2016, far outpacing the 34% average seen across the country. Large industrial users in Toronto had a 53% jump, and those in Ottawa saw a 46% increase, and that is compared to an average increase of 14% for the rest of Canada. Now, bearing in mind that the Fraser Institute is a right-wing think tank, this report argues that those soaring electricity costs are a result of poor government policies. Certainly a lot of people would agree with that. Would like to hear from you. The number is 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And right now, let's go to Ken Green, the Senior Director of Natural Resource Studies at the Fraser Institute. Hello.
Good morning.
Good afternoon here, but no problem. Which policies in particular would you say led to these dramatic increases?
Well, it was a gradual progression of choices that were made, starting with the decision to phase out coal-based electricity generation. Coal was being a low-cost energy source over time. That started the process of increasing Ontario's energy costs, electricity costs. But it really kicked in with the creation of the Green Energy Act, with the implementation of the Green Energy Act, which continued the phase out of coal, but then bungled the build out of natural gas to back up wind and solar power, and then put on wind and solar power at higher than commercial rates. So they're guaranteed that their power will be taken and they'll be paid at a higher rate than you would in a competitive energy market. And those things together, all those things together, showed up in a new part of your electricity bill called the Global Adjustment. Mm-hmm. And in the Global Adjustment, what we found in one study is that only 7% of the electricity in Ontario is generated by renewable sources like wind and solar, but it accounts for 30% of the Global Adjustment's cost.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the overall process of changing from coal to renewables that caused the increase in power prices.
Mm-hmm. But the renewables aren't giving us a big part of the power.
No, that's right. Because they are by definition intermediate. They're unreliable in the sense that they're intermittent sources of power. And in the case of wind, as we showed in a different study that we talk about in this essay collection, the wind power is generated at times when Ontarians aren't really using that much power. So it's when they're at work and not at home and not heating. And so they actually have a situation where Ontario generates too much electricity, and you can't store it. And so they sell it down into the states at a loss, essentially subsidizing Americans to use Ontario's wind energy.
How much of it would you say are a result of the type of the green energy contracts as separate from the decision to phase out coal?
I think we would say that they were both important elements of what led to the price increases, but because natural gas prices dropped so sharply as they did in the United States, I would say more of the blame is on the Green Energy Act than on the coal phase-out, because coal would have phased out probably anyway based on price if you actually had an electricity system that was run based on the cost of fuels. as happened in the United States, which is why the United States is doing better than Canada on greenhouse gas reductions and other environmental indicators that relate to power production.
Mm-hmm. This is a tough question because you, like everybody else, probably have not seen those contracts. But do you have a sense of what it would take should another party get into power to fix this?
Yes, it's true. I haven't seen the actual contracts themselves, but I think the pricing is understood. And has considerably higher than you would source from natural gas or something like that. But we did an essay several years ago with a legal scholar who pointed out that governments can cancel previous government obligations, right? So one government can't be bound by the previous one.
Really?
That's right. And Parliament is the ultimate arbiter of those decisions. So you could have an act of the Parliament or the legislature that basically says we're either phasing out these contracts or we're going to change their terms or cancel them. There is legal precedent for that in Canada and also constitutional grounds for that in Canada. The question is whether there is the political will to do so and to take the consequences that would come in terms of moving forward when companies have doubts about whether you'll stick to your contracts.
Hmm. Interesting. Let's take a couple of calls. We've got Ron in Burlington. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I want to make 3 points. I think I can safely say that most of the listeners today all agree that Ontario's green energy plan is a colossal flop. It's just bad, incompetent policy. Number two, this is what really galls me the most. Premier Wynne is constantly, it's nauseating to the point that she's always talking about our grandchildren and future children, even the unborn. Well, I just find it disgusting that her and her group of people running this province created this problem with the high cost of electricity. Now, the numbers I'm quoting, forgive me if they're not right on the nose, but I'm told, including interest, this 25% reduction in your hydro bill is going to cost future generations $45 billion more. To me, and I'm not virtue signaling here, that to me is morally wrong.
A lot of people feel the same way. I think the number is 44, so you're pretty close.
Okay.
What's a billion here and there in Ontario?
Anyhow, that's all I really wanted to say. I want to leave time for other people to vent.
Okay. The venting is right. Okay.
Thanks for your
call. Let's go to Bill in Toronto. Hi, Bill.
Hi. The one thing, and I talk to my MPP, Arthur Potts, about this quite often. The mismanagement, it's absolutely unbelievable. But they'll always tell you that Bonnie Lasek doesn't know what she's talking about.
Bonnie Lasek, the Auditor General.
Auditor General.
Who's they?
Arthur Potts.
He's a Liberal MPP.
Oh, but everybody that has an opinion that differs from theirs, they're wrong. But it's all you have to watch is Bonnie Lasek on the agenda.
Well, on wherever
she shows the accounting breakdown that they brought in now to get this hydro discount to hide the money and take the debt off the books so we don't see it. It's a bloody shell game she's created. That's how devious this government is. It's bigger than hydro. They're lying criminals. They have to go.
Okay, I'm not sure if they're criminals, but
you don't know yet.
I think that's maybe a bit strong, but Bill, thanks for your call. Beyond the whole hydro problem, Bonnie Lasek, the Auditor General, has taken issue with the way the government is doing its accounting and saying that it does not give us an accurate picture of the debt. Let's go to Ron in Pefferlaw. Hello, Ron.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I'd like to comment on your hydro thing there. My hydro would be $38 a month.
It used to be.
Until the Wynne government give me all these breaks. Now my hydro bill is $58 a month.
Okay, that still sounds doesn't sound too bad to me.
Yeah, I know, because I'm a very, very I conserve my hydro a lot. So I have gas fireplace, gas hot water tank. Up here, the people up here are just they're just suffering so much on account of the hydro bills.
And you managed to organize your life so you're not. That's a practical solution, I'd say.
Yeah, but still, and I just want to make one more comment. I heard your post on the radio a little while ago, and nobody's ever. I have a 416 phone number, and nobody's ever polled me. Never.
Okay. Well, I hope the pollsters are listening. Call Ron in Pefferlaw. Okay. Thank you, Ron. Okay, let's take one more. We've got Sharon in Hamilton. Hello, Sharon.
Hello, Libby. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Kathleen kept saying that she was going to raise the power, and she doesn't keep her promises.
Okay.
And what I don't like is when she first started out to be leader of the Liberals, she got caught stealing.
No, I don't think so. Sharon, thanks for your call. Okay, back to Ken Green. So it looks like it has been an issue here over years. I'm not sure if specifically it's going to be a big thing in the election because it seems to be the election is about Kathleen Wynne herself. But what would you tell people in terms of, just how to deal with this problem? Because obviously it's going to be a legacy and everybody is still going to be paying for these hydro rate cuts.
Right. What I would say is that I like to take a problem-solving approach to things. So I think what's important is we figure out, the root cause of the price increases, which is the overall program of moving to renewables, away from reliable and lower-cost sources of generation like coal or natural gas. Because people were misled, right? They were told we're going to do wind and solar instead of fossil fuels. And it can never be that way because you can't store that power. So you always wind up overbuilding your electricity system. And that's what happens. You have both gas backup plants as well as the wind and solar power. And you wind up in what I would call a subsidy death spiral, which is you pay more for the wind power than you would pay for regular natural gas power. And then you have to pay the natural gas plants to not generate power when they're idling. And the spiral goes just like wind turbines. It goes around and around and around, and the consumer just sees nothing but increasing costs of power over time. So unwinding that move to a redundant power system and getting it down to one that is sufficient and reliable and affordable, I think needs to be the focus of the government. And I think that probably does need to start with the question of power contracts for renewables, as well as the government plans to continue along the road of phasing out fossil fuels, natural gas, in favor of wind and solar power, which are portrayed as renewable, but because they must be backed up, even that portrayal is not correct.
Okay. Ken Green from the Fraser Institute, thanks so much for that.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're taking another break, and when we come back, we're talking about the weather. How did you fare in the ice storm? And guess what? Flood warnings all over the place. We're going to talk about how you can protect yourself and also want to know how you've been managing. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.